In today's gospel, Jesus escapes from a trap with perhaps the most famous one-liner of all time. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. We should not read this as though there is a clearly demarcated political realm that belongs to the Caesars of the world, and then there's the spiritual realm that belongs to God. And we shouldn't read this in the modern mode that says the following: everything to do with politics, that's the public square. Everything to do with religion, well, that's your matter, and that's just private. That will not do. Because of who God is. God is not one being in the world, nor is he one being above the world. No, God is the sheer act of being himself. And because he is, as he said to Moses, I am who I am, God pervades, he influences, and he grounds everything, even as he transcends creation itself. For you see, our understanding of God as Catholics is that he is the deepest source of everything in life. This is something that St. Thomas Aquinas understood so clearly. God is the deepest source of life. And he's concerned about sports, law, the arts, science, and medicine. What is it that seizes the lawyer at his best to have a deep passion for justice? It's because God is justice. What is it that has seized the doctor at her best to have a deep passion for alleviating suffering? It is because God in God's self is healing love. Everything comes from God, and everything returns to God. To render to Caesar what is his and to God what is to understand that we live in an ordered world where we have responsibilities to the state and we have responsibilities to God. Now, what does it mean to be a responsible citizen of Canada? Well, of course, as its basis, it means that we're going to pay our taxes, we're going to live under the laws of the land, we're going to observe as best we can the speeds that are on the roads, and of course, during these last months, to render to the emperor what is the emperor's means that we are to follow the directives of the government in relation to COVID-19, as we are doing today. To live as responsible Christians, particularly Catholic Christians, the Church has stated it very clearly. Now, when I say these things, they're called the precepts of the Church. This is like the minimum, okay? This isn't the maximum. This is like where you kind of have the base level. And what are the five precepts of the Roman Catholic Church by which we honor God? We come to Mass on Sunday. We go to confession at least once a year during the season of Lent. We receive the Eucharist at least yearly during the season of Easter. We fast on Good Friday and on Ash Wednesday if we're under the age of 59. And we contribute to the financial fabric of our local congregation. Those are the five precepts of the Roman Catholic Church. That's just the beginning, as I said. When we go to our reading from Peter, remember, Peter's our first pope. Remember that Peter is living in Rome when he's writing this letter, and remember who the emperor is. His name is Nero. And so within the context of that world, Peter goes on to teach us more deeply what it means to render to God the things that are God's. And this is a beautiful reading. I would invite you to take some time later today to reread it, because these are the last recorded words of our first pope. This is the end of his second letter. And what does Peter want us to hear as his written correspondence comes to a conclusion? It's this: that we understand that the attitude we have in the present is shaped by our anticipation of the future. And what is the future we anticipate? He couldn't put it more clearly when he writes, "We wait for a new heaven and a new earth." Now listen to this, where righteousness will be at home. Isn't that beautiful? What does it mean to say, "and righteousness will be at home"? Well, it's like every fairy tale, and they lived happily ever after. Why are fairy tales and stories with this kind of ending so much a part of who we are? Because they're the truth. It's the gospel that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Do you believe this? Do you believe righteousness will one day be at home, where you will live happily ever after? Not only does Peter say it, the very last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, puts it like this: "Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, no COVID-19. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and he will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." Remember, you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Well, in the new heaven and the new earth, the name of Jesus Christ will be on your forehead. You will be fully his. And there will be no more night. They need no light, lamp, or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. That is our future. That is our destiny. And because that is our destiny, Peter says that we render to God what is God in the present by living this way. While you are waiting for these things, strive to be found in him at peace, without spot or blemish. That is, you're to grow in holiness, to grow in godliness, to become more and more what Jesus wants you to be, and me as well. And I love this last bit. He then goes on to say, "and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation." Listen to that again, please. Regard the patience of the Lord as salvation. We need to understand this in four ways. First, we need to understand that the Lord is patient with us. He gets it that it takes people like Jonathan Gibson a very long time to understand the shape of salvation. Secondly, we need to be patient with ourselves when we fall again into maybe a besetting sin and we can just so beat ourselves up. We need to grow in patience with ourselves. Thirdly, we need to grow in being patient with others as together we live with this eternal perspective amidst the challenges of living in this temporal realm. And fourthly, well, we just need to be patient. It doesn't come easily to us, does it? These have been very hard weeks in some ways. We are by nature impatient. And as we grow in having this kind of heavenly perspective, we will then become more faithful citizens. We will become men and women who are thankful for the order of law, for the way in which we live in a democracy, where you might not agree with everything the government does, but it sure is better than Nero's Rome, isn't it? But most of all, we will be men and women and young people who will not lose heart, because we are hoping for a new heaven and a new earth. We are hoping for that day when righteousness will be at home. We are hoping for that day. And they all lived happily ever after.